Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Even if the government doesn't release the information, you know, the sky is not classified, the oceans are not classified. By doing scientific research into this, we'll find the evidence ourselves. So they cannot hide it. They can only hide what they found. They cannot hide what the sky shows us.
You know, Chris, if you poke around on the internet long enough, you'll find that there's no shortage of alleged UFO sightings or extraterrestrial encounters.
Really not. Some of the latest came in January when UFO journalist Jeremy Corbell released a video of an unidentified aerial phenomenon called the jellyfish.
And that name, the jellyfish, is actually quite fitting because it really does look like one. It's like some sort of round object with these tentacle-looking things hanging off the bottom, just gliding through the air.
And Corbell says the footage was captured at a U.S. joint operation base in Iraq in October of 2018. So it's been 6 years.
And there's another release too, right, Chris?
There is. This one's called the Chandelier, and it's not flying like a bird through the night. It's a still image taken over the Persian Gulf on an undisclosed date, according to Corbell.
I'm Mike Rogers, and that Sia-quoting producer is Chris Blake. This week on Something Offbeat, I spoke with one of the nation's foremost experts on unidentified aerial phenomena, UAPs. That's what they call UFOs now. Dr. Avi Loeb of Harvard. How are things in Cambridge today?
Oh, everything is great. As usual, I'm jogging at 5 a.m. every morning at sunrise, and irrespective of whether it snows or frozen.
Loeb told me that he was on an expedition to the Pacific last June, where back in 2014, an unidentified aerial phenomenon crashed into the ocean off the coast of Papua New Guinea. And the story of the trip is going to be turned into a Netflix documentary sometime next year. But that's not why Loeb mentioned it. It's because he maintained his daily running routine, even at sea.
The director asked me, Avi, it looks like you are running. Are you running away from something or towards something? And I said, I'm running away from some of my colleagues who have very strong opinions without seeking evidence. And I'm running towards a higher intelligence in interstellar space.
I like that answer. You know, my father, he's retired now. He was an oceanographer, and he was on ships all over the world and said he got more exercise on those ships than he ever did at home on land. So, you know.
Right. I mean, it's beautiful to go out there because you're not surrounded by people. And that has been my motto since I was a farm boy. I grew up on a farm and connected to nature, not so much to people. I don't have any footprint on social media. And I think that maintains my youth. I'm still a curious kid in the way I approach things.
The jellyfish and the chandelier. Have you had a chance to look at these? I guess one of them is video, one of them is a photo.
Yeah, I looked at them, and of course, the problem is, as usual, that you're presented with some compromised images that are not giving you the full information about the instruments that were used. And in this particular case, it's infrared video that we are seeing, and some cameras adjust the black-white contrast always in relative terms. So if, for example, you look at an object that moves from a cold environment to a hot environment, the color of the object may change, and you can't really tell what it means unless you understand the instrument. So what we were seeing, it looked to me like some floating balloon or object, and it wasn't clear what it is. I mean, we are left with a lot of questions, and the claim is that it went into the ocean and came out, but it's really one of those mysteries.
the jellyfish specifically, you said that one of your first thoughts was, well, it could be a balloon. And that was one of the first thoughts I had when I saw it, too. Either a balloon or maybe a smudge on the lens.
Right. Or some plastic bag floating in the wind, in the wind. All of these, it's really difficult to assess when someone gives you a video that you have very little information about. So what I would say is that I'm very intrigued by all the footage that was released until now. I applaud those who made it public. We need better data.
Now, Corbell, who we mentioned earlier, released the video of the jellyfish on January 9th and the photo of the chandelier on January 11th. He did not respond to a request from us seeking comment.
And then you ask the question, why was it leaked? Why wasn't something else leaked? I mean, there are two possibilities. Either the government doesn't have anything better than that, or that they keep the most valuable information to themselves and not release and just give us something that, is interesting, but that is not conclusive.
Because the video and the photo were captured in the Middle East. That's an area with a lot of military activity, obviously. Loeb says it's harder to determine what they really are because of that.
I really don't think that we should look for unidentified objects in wars, because there is too much noise. There are too many things that are human-made floating around. In a military zone, you have to worry about so many things that might be floating around. And when you do an experiment, it's very often important not just to detect a signal, but to compare the signal that you detect to the noise. And if there is too much noise around, you just can't differentiate the signal from the noise.
Mike, the timing of this episode is actually pretty good, because just last week, the Pentagon released a report that says it reviewed nearly 80 years of alleged UFO sightings and found no evidence of extraterrestrial spacecraft.
Now, the Pentagon's All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, boy, there's a mouthful, says that many of the sightings turned out to be drones or weather balloons or spy planes or other things that we're not used to seeing every day up in the sky.
I don't know. I think I have a hard time believing that. But I'm also one of those people who thinks there's just got to be something else out there.
And so does Dr. Loeb. We'll hear more about that after the break.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This week on Something Offbeat, I'm speaking with Harvard's Dr. Avi Loeb. After two images of UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomenon, UFOs, if you wish, were released back in January. Now, these images were captured in the Middle East, which is a place that Loeb says it's pretty hard to know for sure what different militaries are doing.
The government is always giving us anecdotal reports of, military personnel that happen to be at the right place at the right time. And you never know how unusual is what you're seeing relative to things that happen in that environment all the time. And so in the Galileo project, instead of relying on anecdotal evidence, we are monitoring the sky all the time. And we look at the entire sky, and this way we can calibrate how unusual an object is relative to the background. And the second problem with the military reports is that we don't have any way to go back and check what the instrument was doing and how reliable is the data that we get. And so with the Galileo project, we are calibrating our instruments. We looked already over the past few months at hundreds of thousands of objects, and we have machine learning software that is being educated, being trained on known birds and airplanes and drones and balloons. And that's how we want to filter out those anomalous ones. And those jellyfish images indeed looked anomalous, but we really need better data.
Loeb launched the Galileo Project back in 2021 to search for extraterrestrial intelligence, unexplained aircraft, and UAPs, among other things. Talk about the Galileo Project for a moment. Does artificial intelligence play into this now?
Definitely. I mean, we know from FIFA, the soccer organization, when there was the Women's World Cup in summer 2023, and there was doubt about whether the ball crossed the line of the goal, they didn't go around and ask the players or the audience. They used the cameras that provided them with videos to decide what really happened. And so that's exactly the scientific approach that the Galileo Project is using. And instead of relying on people to tell us what they see, we are using instruments and we analyze the data with the artificial intelligence software so that, there are two advantages to that. One is the computers can go through a much larger set of data than humans can. They will just look if there is anything anomalous in a huge data set that we collect. And then the second is that they do it without any emotional connection or any wishful thinking. And so we want to rely on artificial intelligence for that.
By the way, if you want to learn more about the Galileo Project, you can go all the way back to one of our early episodes in July of 2022. I spoke with Loeb about NASA's decision to commission a study on UAPs.
Space in general seems to be a topic we keep coming back to over and over again here on Something Offbeat.
That seems like something that you have control over if you want to change it up.
Touché, but it seems to be a subject our listeners like, and it's also just about as offbeat as it gets when it comes to news, because until the government releases more information like Loeb says, we'll kind of always be able to let our minds wander about what these things really are.
My mind tends to wander about a lot of things. What are you excited about in terms of UAP research?
Well, there was a testimony by David Grush in July 2023 to the U.S. Congress under oath, where he claimed the U.S. government has programs for retrieval and reverse engineering of materials from crash sites. And that would be very exciting if true. The question is, should we believe this report? You know, as a scientist, I only believe when someone presents evidence, because you can say anything. And people can tell you all kinds of stories, but the question is there evidence? And so I had a visit of some people from Washington, D.C., and it included a former official at Lockheed Martin. And I asked him whether what David Grush said may imply that Lockheed Martin has some materials that they're studying with funding from the Department of Defense. And he said, it is not necessarily wrong. And I expected him to say that's nonsense. There was nothing there. So again, I hear people saying different things.
When someone says something like that to you, your imagination can really run wild, can't it?
Yes, but it's good to imagine things. But I want to caution of two things. One, our imagination is based on past experience that we had, and it's limited. It's more limited than nature's imagination. And so we should not limit ourselves to what we imagine. We should just look for unfamiliar objects and not imagine what they are, because we just don't know. Okay, so that's the first thing in terms of imagination. And second, you know, it can motivate us, but it shouldn't provide us with a strong opinion on this. We should just look for the evidence to guide us.
Short of any concrete evidence, though, what do you think the likelihood is that some alien civilization has already visited Earth?
Oh, I think it's very high that something from another technological civilization came close to Earth in the past, because, you know, we just in 50 years, we sent 5 probes to interstellar space, and they're making their way out of the solar system right now, and they will become space trash once they exit the solar system in 10,000 years when they get out to the territories of other stars. And if we are doing it in 50 years, you know, and you can imagine us continuing to do it in the future, then over periods of millions to billions of years, there would be a huge amount of space trash that would be out there. And so I think it's very likely that such objects come close to Earth. We found only the first three or so interstellar objects that came close to Earth over the past decade. And two of them were quite weird, unusual. That was the meteor I described, and Oumuamua, another object as big as a football field. We still have a long way to go to find more of them in smaller objects. And I think we might have surprises. And, I'm just curious to see what is out there.
Is it conceited of us to think that we're alone in the universe?
I think it's very presumptuous. I just came back a few days ago from a trip to Poland, to Torun, where the Polish government celebrated 550 years to the birth of Nicolaus Copernicus, who told us that we are not at the center of the universe. He realized that the sun is at the center of the solar system. And the reason he did that is because he was a priest, and the church couldn't get the timing of Easter right based on the models that have the Earth at the center of the world. And he said, well, if I put the sun in the middle, then I get Easter right. And the church agreed to that, but said that this is a theoretical model. It doesn't describe realities. And I think within the coming years, we might as well discover this evidence. It will obviously be a shock, the same way that my daughters at a young age, they were at home and they thought the world centers on them. And when I brought them to the kindergarten on the first day, they had a psychological shock seeing all the other kids out there. So our civilization will mature once we find others.
You better be careful. They locked Galileo up for suggesting that heresy.
Yeah, well, I don't see it as, I see it actually as a way forward for humanity, because right now we are just focusing on conflicts here on Earth. We have wars, two wars going on. We invest $2 trillion a year on military budgets. But if we get a shock therapy, if we receive a package in our mailbox from a neighbor, it will perhaps change our priorities convince us that, you know, there is much more real estate in outer space. We shouldn't fight over territories on this rock that we were born on. So my hope is that the Messiah will come not from Earth, but from another star, and will bring peace to Earth. It will unify people, because we would realize that, you know, we might have a neighbor out there that we can learn from.
What was it they said on the X-Files? The truth is out there. Do you think you and I are going to be alive to learn the truth someday? When's it going to happen?
Yeah, so it's not like the weather. We can actually make it happen by looking for the evidence, which is what I'm doing. So my answer to you is that I'm working on it, and my hope is in the coming years, I'll have something for you.
I'm Mike Rogers. Thanks so much for listening to Something Offbeat. This episode written and produced by Lauren Barry and Chris Blake. Audio editing by Bree Flores. Original music by Myron Kaplan, and editorial support from Cooper Mall. Now to keep listening, subscribe to us on the Odyssey app or Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have your own offbeat story you think we should cover, we'd love to hear about it. Send it to us at somethingoffbeat@Odyssey. That's AudacyY.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.